Coima impacts, which will be lined out there, and income impacts. But I'm saying that at a certain point, as we get into more and more questions, the scope of our work is limited. And for example, if you ask us, what happens if you leave $100 million from the oil company versus taking it away through taxation to the population out there, we're not prepared, I don't think at this point, to answer those types of questions. Now, we perhaps can later on in this modification. But we're getting into other questions here as we go along that kind of require some analysis and thinking on our part here.
Any other questions on the sales taxes issues? Getting close to the end of my list, the fisheries tax is the only ones left, and I would just recommend we leave them out of the report. Under a slight miscellaneous category there. But, is anybody or Vince, is there any work being done on the fisheries taxes that we need to be aware of or should include in the report?
We're doing work in terms of the rates. Fishery taxes were streamlined a few years ago. I'm not sure if it was 4 or 5 years ago. They make it overhaul. It doesn't result in a great increase in revenue. It's virtually insignificant. But we are discussing what the impact would be in terms of revenue as well as elasticity factor, efficiency, and so forth.
Okay. Now, I was slightly involved in when we put the rump fish tax deal together. It was the same year we repealed the income taxes, and fishermen couldn't quite understand the motivation of Mr. Tillion and Mr. Gardner and Mr. Hammond being the only three people in the state who wanted to raise fisheries taxes, but those three were successful in their effort. Those taxes stayed on even though other individuals didn't pay any. So, Mr. Martin.
Well, the fishery tax, I think a good evaluation may be on that is what the state puts into fishing enhancement, what we put into protecting the rights of our local fishermen. See, there's a direct good point, I think, of our state government. We're protecting the fishing industry, we're enhancing the fishing industry, and what you pay in taxes, I don't know what goes back into the industry itself. I think more than that goes back into the industry. So in that case, when we see a resource, a fish, being developed, put people to work, and at the same time we put those monies right back into that same resource, it does give us a positive aspect of what state government can do to keep people employed.
I think one way to gain more revenue to the state out of fisheries, and I guess it's called economic rent. You know, what does the state collect as economic rent for its resources?
Mm-hmm.
Is an individual income tax. We have a large number of our fishermen or limited entry permit holders who are non-resident, and they only come up here and fish for that, and that's the only way the state can get any more revenue out of them. There is an individual income tax on those people, and it would hopefully, when we get these models put together, we'll be able to run some looks to see what amount of revenue would come out of that.
You mean taxing the individual income tax? Wouldn't it be a lot of leakage from that though? I mean, if people coming from say California, Oregon, Seattle, fishing in the Alaskan waters, how do you, they have to offload here? Is that the way you capture the?
Yeah. Every time you sell fish, you fill out a fish ticket. And it has your limited entry permit card number on it, and it has the pounds of fish and the value that you would pay for those fish. So the auditing function of figuring out who got what kind of revenue, what X vessel revenue, is very easy. It's known right now, but it can go over. I could run you a list of what we pay each individual fisherman, but I'm sure revenue could do it too.
Couldn't we put a severance tax on it and everyone wouldn't have the income tax?
Well, we do have sets, but all these taxes on here are our severance taxes, basically. They come right off the fish ticket. So.
Mr. Chairman, if we raise the tax on those fish, they're likely to start abandoning our coast for British Columbia.
Yeah.
Water's edge.
Yeah, they just, maybe they just won't come up here and fish anymore. I just can't believe that kind of impact. That would be a negative impact, I guess. Okay, my trusty staff has handed me the old miscellaneous taxes, motor fuel taxes, cigarettes, licenses, liquor taxes. What's the committee's pleasure there? Should we just list them all out? We've had a bill in to raise liquor taxes every year since I've been in the legislature, and
gun cigarettes.
There's a proposal to raise gas taxes, I think, from what, 8 to 16 cents. I saw that running. I would propose maybe that staff raise the issue. Staff can research the issue and provide maybe a summary in the report, preliminary report, just looking at it so that we could have it in front of us next time to make a decision. Well,
I think a very useful report or memorandum was the one that the Department of Revenue prepared last December that showed how much you could raise by raising tax so much. I think an update of that would be very useful. And, do as much as almost anything else to put these options in perspective. So if we get that, I think we've got a lot.
The challenge is to get all this into 4.5 pages. It's a
simple sentence.
Yeah. Kay, did you have a comment?
Well, another area that occurs to me is the mining license tax. Several years ago, we did an analysis at DNR and showed that the mining industry was paying very low tax. Of course, the argument there is that there is not much rent to capture, and in fact, those operations are very close to the margin, and the level may be perfectly appropriate, but I don't know whether there's been any work done on that recently or in respect to some of the new mining developments that are now on the drawing board.
Any other issues? Any new taxes we don't use?
I think
yeah, I know.
Nuisance tax, real.
Nuisance tax.
Nuisance.
Okay, I guess any other issues? That's about the end of the agenda, and what we'll do is I'll work with my staff. John Hartle here is going to kind of coordinate putting this report together and work with hopefully Vince and Gordon and everybody else here to get this down, and we'll try to get it together and print it out for the committee by the first of the year, right after New Year's, and then circulate it around. I'll talk with Senator Ferguson and the senators to see about scheduling another meeting. We go into session the 19th of January. I would say at the end of that first week or the beginning of the second week, before things really get rolling, that we should perhaps get back together in Juneau to review what report we have and see what action this committee wants to take during the session. And, you might want to think about that. It'd be my recommendation that although bills can't be referred to this committee as a bill referral, that sometime during the session it would be appropriate to reconvene, sit down, and take all of the tax bills that are in the hopper and take a look at them and maybe make some general recommendation of what we would feel about it. Is there any other further comments? The cameras have gone, so we don't need to do closing statements. I was afraid Mr. Martin was going to get going there for a minute.
I think it's January 25th is a Super Bowl day. You want to stay away from that one.
I'm sure we have a lot of people there to get the right calendar worked out right now. We will not let the speaker have anything to do with that. He wouldn't even let us break to watch the greatest closing of the NCAA championships 2 years ago when Georgetown lost to Villanova. And we had a call on the house and wouldn't let us off the floor to watch the last 2 minutes.
Mr. Chairman, that's because you extended the 2-hour floor session to 5.
Well, nothing Nothing further, we'll adjourn the meeting and thank everybody for their participation. I think it's a good day and a half. We'll look forward to seeing all of you later.
Hey, you might see that.